The following is a special presentation of the Horse Racing Radio Network. Welcome to HRRN's Best of the Breeders' Cup, presented by visitbarbados.org.
And Ali Sheba, America's horse, has done it!
Zenyatta, what a performance, one we'll never forget!
But there is absolutely no stopping Songbird.
Alphabet Soup has scored a shocking upset. Cigar has been denied.
Mucho Macho Man Declaration of War will take charge of Final Man. Mucho Macho Man!
A pulsating climax to the classic. Arrogate takes the lead and wins.
Desperately close. Tis Now wins it for America.
Wise Dan's got him. Wise Dan, brilliant in the mile.
He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic.
The incomparable, invincible, unbeatable Cigar!
Golden Cova, a true champion. Three Breeders' Cup wins.
Ferdinand has the lead. Ali Sheba, a final surge. The two Derby winners hit the wire together.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Since its inception in 1984, the Breeders' Cup has provided many of the most memorable moments we've seen in the sport of thoroughbred racing, and for that matter, in the world of sports. Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Mike Penna, alongside retired top trainer Jude Feld, getting ready to take you on a little trip down memory lane as we spend some time looking back on a few of those Breeders' Cup moments that we will never forget. So many great performances over the years, it really becomes difficult to narrow the list down, but with just 30 minutes to do it for you on this program here today, Jude, we thought it would be good to kind of focus on the races that you and I will always remember and kind of bring people a look through our eyes and our stories surrounding those particular moments.
Yeah, it's races that we either enjoyed watching, had friends win, made a score, whatever you might think. Any horse fan, horse player, sports aficionado would enjoy. But we've been there for quite a few of them, almost all of them, I would say. And it's fun to look back on these days.
Well, as the saying goes, the best place to start is usually in the beginning. So we will do that, and we'll look back on the very first Breeders' Cup held in 1984 at Hollywood Park. And it was after that renewal of the Breeders' Cup Classic, or at least that first Breeders' Cup Classic, that we kind of got a sense that we might be onto something here with this Breeders' Cup. Here's the way that 1984 Breeders' Cup Classic at Hollywood Park sounded.
On the inside, Wild again is game, and he's holding on to the lead by a head. Slew of Gold is right at his neck. Here comes Gate Dancer on the outside there in the final furlong. Wild again, desperately holding on to the lead. Slew of Gold is right there in between horses. Gate Dancer on the outside. What a finish. Wild again, Gate Dancer, Slew of Gold in between them. Those three in a dramatic finish, and here's the wire. Wild again does it. I believe it was Wild again, an upset winner. Gate Dancer was right there. Really was a bit too close to call. But the big horse, Slew of Gold, was defeated today. He was third.
Tom Durkin with the call, and yeah, what a performance. I mean, the three horses just giving their all and hitting the wire virtually together, and it was Wild again who ended up getting the upset victory that afternoon.
Yeah, that was quite a race, and who would have thought Pat Day would win the first Breeders' Cup Classic? Anybody? Show of hands? Unbelievable. I got to be friends with Vince Timpany, the trainer of Wild again, when we were stabled next to one another at Hollywood Park, and later on, after the race ran, I got invited to Vincent's house for dinner, and he had a huge television set with the race playing on a loop. And I saw that race every other time I went to Vincent's house for dinner. That race was never off the television in the kitchen slash dining room area at Vincent's house. It was on all the time, all day.
I don't blame
every
him.
Day. Yeah, it was a big deal. It was really cool. But I've never known anybody to do that except for Vincent. He was a good fella and a fantastic chef. I mean, the food he used to cook. He had his own restaurant in New Orleans for a long time, and very, very cool. Him and his wife Scarlett and their son JJ. They loved Wild Again.
Yeah, the one thing I remember about that race that always stands out to me is Gate Dancer's earmuffs. You remember he had a big white hood and the white earmuffs, and that's a visual that when it comes to the Breeders' Cup, I'm just never going to forget.
That and the pink silks with the black dots.
That's right too. That's right. For Pat Day, by the way, a winner of more than 8,800 races in his career. So conceivable that, he would be the guy to win the first Breeders' Cup Classic. But to do it in upset fashion with Wild Again was pretty special. Pat would win 12 Breeders' Cup races in that Hall of Fame career. A pretty cool resume for the Hall of Famer. All right, well, the next moment that we'll take a look at came in 1988, so 4 years after the initial Classic, and this one, I know it wasn't the Classic, it was the Distaff in 88 at Churchill Downs, but it's an all-time classic and an instant classic with Personal Ensign.
Stevens going to a vigorous left-handed whip, holding on by two. Goodbye, Halo is charging hard. Here comes Personal Ensign, unleashing a furious run on the outside, but it is still winning colors. Goodbye, Halo. Personal Ensign, a 16th of a mile from the wire. Winning colors is there. Personal Ensign, a dramatic finish, and here is the wire, and it is Personal Ensign there with winning colors in a photo. Very close. At the 16th pole, it looked like Personal Ensign was facing her first defeat. But in those final 110 courageous yards, she certainly proved herself a champion this afternoon.
Talk about going out on top. Personal Ensign with that courageous victory, running her record to a perfect 13 for 13. That's what it would stand at her retirement. And Jude, one of the greatest performances we have ever seen in any facet of sports, Personal Ensign.
Yeah, what a tremendous race. And she just dug in and fought so hard. And I couldn't believe she won. We talked to Shug McGahee about that one time. And Shug told us, you know, that he didn't think she had a chance. A friend of his was standing right next to him, and he says, "What do you think?" And he says, "Not today."
Yeah.
And then after, he was told by
Randy Romero, the jockey.
Yeah, never in doubt. So that's a trainer and a jockey for you. And of course, Randy Romero, very upbeat guy, and always positive. He's been tremendously positive in his own life, overcoming a lot of health issues that are pretty tough, but Randy Romero, the optimist, and said never in doubt. So it was a fantastic race.
Yeah, simply spectacular. That was the 88 Distaff. The following year, the Breeders' Cup went to South Florida and Gulfstream Park, and the Breeders' Cup Classic featured a showdown between the East and the West. You had Sunday Silence coming from the West. He was the star out there. You had Easy Goer, who was the darling of the East Coast, and they met in South Florida in that 1989 Breeders' Cup Classic.
They're coming to the top of the stretch, and Blushing John is under a hand rod. He leads by length and a half. Sunday Silence, a threatening presence on the outside. Easy Goer is set down, and he's put to a fierce drive. Coming to the final furlong, Sunday Silence surges to the front. Blushing John trying to fight back. Easy Goer with one final acceleration, and Sunday Silence holds on, and he wins by a desperate neck. Easy Goer was too late, not enough to win it, and it was Sunday Silence in a racing epic.
You know, you mentioned Shug McGahee, the trainer of Personal Ensign, and that was his first Breeders' Cup victory, believe it or not, with Personal Ensign in 88. That defeat with Easy Goer to Sunday Silence had to be one of the more gut-wrenching defeats that he ever suffered in his career.
Yeah, you would have to think. Of course, nobody knew at the time that Sunday Silence would go on to be one of the greatest sires that ever lived.
Mm-hmm.
But, that was a tremendous race. Talk about some name dropping in that field.
Yeah. You know, and Chris McCarron aboard Sunday Silence, you know, was talking about how he could really run the turns well. And that was a huge advantage there at Gulfstream Park. For me, I was an easy goer guy, and you kind of fell into one camp or the other. When I first cut my teeth on racing back in the late 80s, that's when Easy Goer was bursting onto the scene. And I remember standing at the rail at Saratoga watching him win the Travers Stakes earlier that season. So I was cheering for Easy Goer. So for me, it was a bit gut-wrenching too.
Yeah, for me, it was great because it was Charlie Whittingham.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it was East or West with that one. It's kind of like the debate about Saratoga or Del Mar. You're one or the other in most instances. All right, well, the 1991 Breeders' Cup Juvenile was one of the moments that when you think about the Breeders' Cup and you think about unbelievable performances, this one was almost, even after the race, somewhat, well, difficult to comprehend what you just saw.
Arazi with a dramatic move as the field turns for home. He's wide into the stretch. Bertrando stunned at the inside with the move here of Arazi, and he's pouring it on. Just incredible move as they come to the top of the stretch by four now. And then it's Bertrando, who is now a discouraged second farther back. It is snappy landing, and they're coming down to the finish here. Here indeed is a superstar. Arazi, absolutely brilliant. He was taken under a hard hold to win it here by five, and he could have won by 10 perhaps. And Bertrando was second. Absolutely sensational.
Yeah, once again, Tom Durkin with the call of that Breeders' Cup Juvenile. You remember Arazi coming from across the pond, and Jude, he just took it to the best two-year-olds that we had here in the United States. And when he made that move on the turn and barreled into the stretch, he went by them as if they were tied to a post.
Yeah, it was an amazing move to watch, and I was flattered later on. I ran a filly in a stakes race in Arizona at Turf Paradise, and my filly carried 132 pounds, and Bob Baffert had the second high weight at 119, so it was a big weight difference there. And the person that wrote the race up for the local paper said that Slip With Me had an Arazi-like charge around the turn. And I thought, wow, that's really impressive. And she actually did run very similar that day. But that move was something that just took your breath away, and he automatically became the favorite for the Kentucky Derby, where he did not fare nearly as well. But
right. He did come back the following year in the Breeders' Cup, too, in the Breeders' Cup Mile. He was favored that year and finished 11th. That was the year that Lure won the Breeders' Cup Mile under Hall of Famer Mike Smith. So Arazi giving us one of those moments that still to this day really stands out to us. All right, so if you were in disbelief after what you saw from Arazi in the 91 Juvenile, you had to be maybe even in more disbelief watching the 1993 Breeders' Cup Classic at Santa Anita.
They come to the top of the stretch. Azud is still in with the chance in behind Horses. Best Pal is only four lengths from the lead. Pleasant Tango is coming hard. Kissing Chris is also right there. Arcang is coming in between Horses. And it's still Bertrando with an onslaught of challengers. Here comes Arcang. A huge upset looming here as Arcang comes flying on the outside. And he runs by Bertrando. Kissing Chris. Here is Arcang to win it in an absolute shocker. He's 99-1 in the $3 million Classic. And Bertrando, the favorite, is defeated in the final yards. Absolutely shocking and impossible victory, paramutually speaking.
Tom Durkin, always the best, never at a loss for words. The official odds on Arcang that year, 133-1, returned $269.20, which is a record payoff for a Breeders' Cup race, as you might expect.
Yeah, and the most surprised guy, believe it or not, was Jerry Bailey, who rode Arcang to victory. He didn't know how to pronounce the horse's name. He'd never heard of the horse. He even asked his agent, why am I riding this? And all of a sudden, he's in the winner's circle with the biggest upset in Breeders' Cup history. There was a $1 million picks. Oh, incidentally, Jerry Bailey had never been on the horse.
Never
ever.
Been on him.
Just hopped on in the paddock. There was a $1 million pick six that day. And a couple of my clients that I trained Veal Vin for, Ian Fry and Dick Gason, they owned a company called Horse Racing Abroad, and they had brought a bunch of European people to the Breeders' Cup that year. And so one of the French visitors had the million-dollar pick six. And he didn't know how to cash it or anything. And one of my exercise riders, a girl named Brenda Bacon, was helping Dick run bets for these European people. And she had purchased that ticket for the French guy. And so Dick had to go to the window, and he's a lawyer by trade, and he had to go and explain that this man didn't need the taxes taken out. And of course, you know, $1 million, unheard of at the time, pick six, and you know, people were going crazy. But they finally got it worked out, and the French guy, he invited Brenda to come with the rest of the French guys to this big party at the hotel and got her a room and everything. She was so excited about the whole thing. And it was really a unique situation because it was something that nobody expected, and just an unforgettable day, really.
Yeah, I had just graduated from college that year and
living. Okay, thanks.
Yeah, so just put this in perspective for you, old pontiff of the pick four. And I was living in New Hampshire at the time, and I can remember exactly where I was when R. King or R. Kong ended up winning that classic. And just, first of all, I didn't have them, which made me upset. But then I just looked and I said, what on earth just happened here in that Breeders' Cup Classic? But it certainly was one of those moments that we'll never forget in Breeders' Cup history. The following year is another special moment for me personally. Jude, you talked about how sometimes the moments that stand out to us, they stand out because we cashed a ticket. And that was the case for me in the 1994 Breeders' Cup Classic.
And concern continues to gather momentum, and so the matter is also set down. The stretch running power of Concern.
Yeah, Concern coming from all the way back, 14th position early, came storming home, got up to win by a neck over Tabasco Cat in a field that, as you heard, included Soul of the Matter and Best Pal and Bertrando. Gopher Gin was in there, a Kentucky Derby winner. Devil Is Due was in that field too. It was pretty special. And the reason I love Concern so much that day, people that listen to the program all the time know I'm a huge Holy Bull fan. And Concern was second to Holy Bull in the Travers, nearly beat him that day. And I said, you know what? Holy Bull wasn't in the Classic. If any horse could be that close to Holy Bull, he has to be the horse to beat in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And at 7-1, I cashed a ticket on him because of that logic.
Well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's you know, looking at the competition is often a good key to wagering success. And Holy Bull was a great horse. And you're right. If Concern could run second to him, he had every chance to win the Classic. He was a horse that appreciated extra distance. So
yeah, and a Maryland bred, racing in the colors of Robert Meyerhoff for trainer Richard Small. And that was a victory for some of the smaller players in the business, so to speak, because it wasn't, you know, your Phipps's or you know, one of those types of ownership groups that was involved, and it was really cool to see.
Yeah, the owners go to sales and buy horses at reasonable prices, and Dickie Small, one of the great trainers. I mean, just a fantastic horseman. So a little bit of a surprise, but not really.
Yeah, exactly. We'll stick with the Classic for our next moment that stands out to us, and that was in 2008 at Santa Anita, and I have a feeling a lot of people will remember this moment.
Zenyatta, if she wins this, she'll be a super horse. She's starting to pick them off, though. Zenyatta going to hook to the outside. Meanwhile, it's Colonel John, Summer Bird in the red cap. And Zenyatta's come to the outside. Zenyatta coming flying on the grandstand side. Gio Ponti on the inside. Summer Bird is right there. This is unbelievable. Zenyatta, what a performance. One we'll never forget. Looked impossible, but it is Zenyatta, still unbeaten under Mike Smith. Gio Ponti second, Summer Bird, and then Richard's Kid. What a dramatic performance. One of the most sensational ever. Zenyatta wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
that was just the second year that we had been involved in broadcasting the Breeders' Cup here on HRN. And Jude, I remember, you know, our broadcast position being out back by the paddock area at Santa Anita. And so we were not trackside, but the roar and the you could almost feel the ground shaking as Zenyatta was making that move. And we had our headsets on doing the broadcast, and it was so loud. It just remarkable.
Yeah, it was something else. And such a great fan base that Zenyatta had. So many people, especially in California, that were just in love with her. I mean, she couldn't make a move without people taking notice. And then now you look at the beautiful statue that Nina Kaiser has sculpted, and it's in the paddock garden. It's fantastic. She was the queen of Santa Anita. No
you
question.
Remember watching her walk into the paddock that day and how many people were surrounding the paddock just trying to get a glimpse of her. But when she would come in, she would do that little dance with her leg, for
right.
lack of a better term.
Right.
And people loved that. And they were trying to take videos of her when she would walk in and take pictures of her. And they were holding up signs, which was just so cool to see. It was just a remarkable moment. And it's, you know, that particular moment in time is one that when I think back on Breeders' Cup, I'm going to think of how fortunate we were to be sitting there so close to that action.
Yeah, that was great. And that little dance step that she did, it's pictured in that statue too. So when you see it, it comes to mind right away.
Yeah, so cool. Well, we'll stick with the ladies for our next clip. And this is the 2011 distaff when the Breeders' Cup returned to Churchill Downs. And if you're going to talk about sensational mares that we've seen in the sport, this little girl, she could be right near the top of the list.
They're at the top of the lane in the Ladies Classic, and Plum Pretty hugs the rail and kicks for home, and she's got something left. Plum Pretty going on for home, Gamely now. In the center, it's Tricky stretching her every yard of the way. Royal Delta's getting involved late as well. Plum Pretty along the inside. It's Tricky racing between them and Royal Delta. It's a thriller. Royal Delta's going to score. Royal Delta strikes the front, and Royal Delta, perfectly handled, has taken the Ladies Classic. She's won her division for the year too. Royal Delta, it's Tricky. Pash Attack ran on for third. Ultra Blend and Plum Pretty got tired that last 16th of a mile.
Royal Delta for Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott, winning the first of two Breeders' Cup distaffs. She would come back the following year and win it again at Santa Anita. Jose Lascano was aboard for that win in 2011 at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, that was fantastic. She worked unbelievably. The best workout I've ever seen in my life prior to that race. And I was never so sure that a horse that I didn't train was going to win a race. I was all in on Royal Delta that day. And I'll never forget it. Mott ended up winning the Classic the next day with Drosselmeyer. So
yeah,
the Mott Daily Double.
That's always a good thing. And 12 wins from 22 lifetime starts, earnings of more than $4.8 million for champion Royal Delta. And, of course, those two wins in the Breeders' Cup distaff, which, by the way, at that time, if you remember, was known as the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic in each of those years.
Yeah, they switched the name. Now it's back to the distaff.
Now it is back to the distaff, which, quite honestly, I prefer distaff over the Ladies Classic. How about you?
Me too.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, well, in 2013, the Breeders' Cup headed west again and back to Santa Anita, and it set up one of the showdowns that has made the Breeders' Cup so successful over the years, and that was the 2013 running of the Breeders' Cup Classic.
At the top of the lane, Mucho Macho Man, Palace Malice will take charge for Dwanid, and here comes Declaration of War in the green cap. Mucho Macho Man is full out now on the outside. Declaration of War will take charge. Mucho Macho Man just keeps on finding on the lead. Will take charge, a late run. Oh, that's close. Mucho Macho Man, the more they asked, the more he gave. Will take charge was right there, as was Declaration of War in a classic Breeders' Cup Classic.
Trevor Denman bringing them home in that 2013 renewal of the Classic. And Jude, I think much like everybody else that was watching or listening or in attendance for the race, the reaction when Will Take Charge came storming back and nearly got past Mucho Macho Man in the final jump. I mean, everybody was, you know, just ooh and ah, and it was Mucho Macho Man who would be able to hold on for Patty and Dean Reeves, two of the classiest people you'll ever meet in the world of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, it was a very personal win for us. as we had seen Mucho Macho Man as a three-year-old, and he was all scrawny and little, a June foal. We're looking at him in January outside the barn at Gulfstream Park, and you know, and here he is, a grown man finally, you know, winning the Classic. It was a great moment for you and I, and especially for the Reeves.
And we tell the story a lot about trainer Kathy Ripfo. When we first saw Mucho Macho Man that day at Gulfstream and asked her for an interview, she was a bit reluctant. She was kind of shy, and we talked her into doing it. She was wonderful. And then by the time she got to the Breeders' Cup Classic with him in 2013, she was on NBC, and she was an old pro at doing interviews.
Yeah, she was doing commercials for the Heart Association.
That's right, she was.
Amazing meteoric rise to stardom for her.
2 years later, the Breeders' Cup came to Keeneland in Lexington, Kentucky for the very first time, and it was a special Breeders' Cup for many of the connections, but maybe none more so than Triple Crown winner American Pharoah, who made his way to the Bluegrass.
American Pharoah through it all, still in front, opens back up here by 2.5, 3 lengths to the top of the stretch. FNX continues to give chase, Frosted third, Tonalist in fourth, a quarter mile from home, and American Pharoah is into the stretch at Keeneland in the Breeders' Cup Classic. A 5-length lead as he comes to the eighth pole. FNX second, Frosted far back in third, Tonalist is in fourth, into the final furlong. There will be a fourth jewel in the crown. He's an everlasting credit to the sport. American Pharoah has belted a grand slam in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He wins it in 2 minutes flat.
A winner of the Triple Crown, the Derby, Preakness, and Belmont, and then comes back and redeems himself for a loss in the Traverse Stakes at Saratoga with that win in the Breeders' Cup Classic. And you heard Kurt Becker with the call, the first grand slam in the history of thoroughbred racing.
Yeah, well, whatever that is.
Well, Triple Crown, and then add the one more leg to it with the Breeders' Cup Classic.
It was a phenomenal day at Keeneland. It was a phenomenal race by American Pharoah, and a great call by Kurt. Just one of those things you'll never forget. First of all, just to see a Triple Crown winner is cool for most everyone in the sport. And then, you know, to watch him win at Keeneland was great.
The Breeders' Cup returned to Santa Anita again in 2016. And, yeah, you had a lot of great races over the 13 championship events that were held over those 2 days. But the one that always stands out to us, Jude, was the performance in the Breeders' Cup Distaff by Beholder.
Songbird and Beholder, and they're into the stretch, and here we go. Songbird set down, Beholder is alongside, Forever Unbridled is 2.5 lengths behind them. Furlong to run, Songbird, Beholder, they are nose to nose. This race living up to its expected power as they come to the wire. They're nose to the park, it's Beholder. I think she got her head down on the wire. Songbird, two of them right together, and then came Forever Unbridled. The final time was 1:49.20. I believe Beholder did it.
Yeah, and her final start of her career, Beholder outlasting Songbird in a stretch battle that just reminded you of Sunday Silence and Easy Goer in the Preakness, where they hooked up and just dueled down to the wire. Larry Colmus with the call, obviously extremely excited, and who wouldn't be? I mean, I can remember us and sitting in our broadcast position and watching that race and just, you know, cheering. And you're not cheering for one or the other. You're cheering for both of those great champions.
Yeah, it was slide a piece of paper between the two of them at the wire. I mean, it was one of the most incredible races to watch, and two great fillies duking it out, and to this day there's some people that don't believe the photo. I guess it depends on what number you had on your ticket, but yeah, tremendous performance by Beholder, and great way to go out.
Yeah, pretty special, and end her career in that fashion. It's a storybook ending, and there have been so many of those in the history of the Breeders' Cup. Names like One Dreamer come to mind for, you know, Tom Proctor and that remarkable victory, and Inside Information, who just dominated the Breeders' Cup Distaff for trainer Shug McGahee. There have been so many moments that we can talk about and reflect upon, but JT, we're about out of time, and that's been a really fun half hour.
Yeah, lots of memories.
All right, we hope that you enjoyed it as much as we did, that look back at the Breeders' Cup World Championships. If you want to learn more about all of our programming, simply head over to our website, horseracingradio.net, and follow us on Twitter at HRRN. Thanks for being with us for this look back at the Breeders' Cup World Championships on HRN.